Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Brother Paxton, and I just have a word that's on my heart right now. The Lord's put this within me. I haven't been meditating on it very long at all, but I wanted to share just a couple of thoughts with you right now, and then more to come in the near future on this particular subject. First of all, let's read from the book of Haggai, and the second chapter, starting with verse 6. I'm going to read from the King James Version. And you can follow along and look it up in whatever version that you use. It says this, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth." So we understand, not just from this verse, but from the entirety of the Bible and the entirety of Bible prophecy, that there is a great shaking taking place on planet Earth right now. God is shaking the heavens and the earth. There are awesome signs in the heavens that are signs of the return of Christ. We could list them all. We won't take the time to do that here today. But sufficient to say, the Lord is the one who is doing the shaking. It says, "And the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." And the desire, now listen to this. The Lord says, "I will shake all nations." We're seeing that happening right now in our world. And then it says, "And then the desire of all nations shall come." And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, when we see the things that we're seeing on planet Earth, and some of them are very negative. There's, you know, all the signs in Matthew 24 that are indicators of His second coming, not necessarily the rapture. The rapture could take place at any moment. I do believe that we're going to see some things, though, before the rapture takes place, because we already have seen some things. We've already seen some disease outbreaks, some terrible storms, all of these things that are increasing in intensity as we come to the time of His return. But the Lord is doing this shaking, and when the shaking is taking place, there's a very positive thing attached to it. It says, "Then the desire of all nations shall come." Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is coming back. Make no mistake about it. Take courage, take heart, take joy in knowing that in the midst of all of these things that we're seeing, who would have ever thought that we as Americans would see some of the stupid laws being passed that America is passing today? Who would have thought? You know, when I was a young man, a kid, I never thought some of these things would be happening in the country that I love so much. And it's that way not just in America, but all over the world right now. There are strange things happening every day, as the old spiritual song says. But we can take joy in knowing that we are living in the time frame of the return of Christ. And so the negative things that are happening is all building toward that positive when Jesus will come back and reclaim actually ownership of planet Earth. He's never lost it, but in the hearts of men He will rule and reign in person on the earth for 1,000 years. In your Bible, it's called the millennial reign. We're building toward that crescendo. Praise God. It says, now I want to read that 7th verse again. "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house." What house is He talking about? He's talking about His house. "I'm going to fill this house," the church, "with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." So the Lord is going to pour out His glory on the church in the time of His coming. Ladies and gentlemen, I firmly believe with all of my heart that we are going to see people saved that you never thought they would ever get saved. You never thought they would ever give their heart to Christ, but it's going to happen in this moment. I also believe that we're going to see mighty miracles of the power of God in the last days church. We're going to see creative miracles. We're going to see healings. We're going to see prosperity among the people of God to take this gospel to the furthest corners of the earth. Listen to what He says in verse 8. "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 9, he says this, the glory of this latter house, the last day's church, shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place, glory be to God, in this place and in this time, he said, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean the absence of war, because as you can tell, you know, if we truly are living in the last days, and I believe that we are, there is war on every hand, but the child of God can walk through the midst of the valley of the shadow of death and have the peace of Jehovah in his heart, the peace of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, that passes all understanding. Glory be to God. Why? Because he is giving that to us in measure that we need for the time we're living in. You see, the peace of God is always available. Sometimes you don't need as much of it as you do at other times. But because of the times that we're living in, I believe the Lord has turned up the injection of peace that he injects into our life. And right in the middle of the worst catastrophes, right in the middle of the worst chaos, right in the middle of war and famine and pestilence and earthquake and disease, the body of Jesus Christ is going to rise up in peace, in power, in strength, and in determination to take this gospel to the ends of the earth in the most trying and difficult of times and situations. Glory be to God. I believe that's what these verses is prophesying to us. It says in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So here we see that word again, glory. You know, a lot of times we use that word as an expression of an exuberant worship. We'll just say glory. And sometimes I think we fail to realize what it means. But the word glory means, one of its meanings is the heavy weightiness of God. I mean, this is God bringing everything to bear. This is God overshadowing every negative thing in your life and raising you up in his presence and his power and his might and in the strength of his name. That's glory. And it says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now listen to this second verse, Isaiah chapter 60. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That's going to happen. You're not going to change that. You cannot confess that away. That's the times that we're living in today, is that gross darkness is covering the people of planet Earth. And some people are just absolutely hardened against the gospel, and they're hardened against God. It's going to take the glory, as it falls upon the church, and the Holy Spirit will break through that darkness, and we will save some, snatching them out of the fire, the Bible says, in these last days. But the point I'm trying to make is the darkness is there, it is real, and it's not going away. Let's read it again. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory, there it is again, shall be seen upon thee. And then, as a result of that, because the church is going to shine with the glory of God in the last days, because of that, it says in verse 3, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Now I realize that this prophecy, and most prophecy actually, centers around Israel, and there is an application there, but there's also a spiritual application to you and I, the church. And that's what we're talking about in this telecast. The spiritual application that as it goes with Israel, so goes it with us in the spiritual. Israel was called to shine and show forth the glory of the Lord. What's the church called to do? Shine and show forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when this happens, people will come. People will give their heart to Christ. Why? Because of you? Because of me? No. Not because of any great messages we preach or any great event that we hold. Those things help. Those things are tools in the harvest. But the reason they will come is because of the drawing power of the Holy Spirit contained in the glory that's going to fall upon the church. And when does this happen? In the darkest of days. In the darkest of times. You know what? I have no fear about the times we're living in whatsoever. I'm pumped, I'm thrilled and excited because I know, you know, mankind can only kill me once. And it doesn't make any difference whether I die in Michigan, Tennessee, or Virginia, or Arizona, or Europe, or whatever. I can only die a physical death one time, and I'm going to go to be in the presence of Jesus. Now, that's worst case scenario. I have no fear whatsoever of the days that we're living in because of these promises right here. I understand, and I want you to understand, that the glory of the Lord is going to fall upon you if you're a member of His body. The glory of the Lord is going to fall upon you. You are going to raise up in that glory. You're going to shine forth the brightness of His coming. Hallelujah. And people will be drawn to salvation because of your testimony and your walk, but because of the Holy Spirit that is within you. And that's the days we're living in right now. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be dark days. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be struggles and fight. And the Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. There's going to be negative things happen. You will not get away without that. You will not get around that. But, glory to God, but in the midst of it all, you, the church, can walk in the glory. And you can walk in peace. He said, I will give you peace in this place. Hallelujah. And so that peace, that glory in the last days, drives out fear, drives out panic, drives away shame and reproach. And it sets people free to be who they are in Christ. And more importantly, I suppose, so Christ can be who He is in them. And we go forward free, one by one, chains falling off, bondages broken, lives changed, people saved by the blood of Jesus. That's the time we're living in. Yeah, there's going to be problems. There's going to be signs of the times. There's going to be all of the horrible things that are happening in the world. Gross darkness covers the people. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will shine brighter than ever. Let me tell you this, the light always shines the brightest in the darkest place. And not only that, but not only will the church shine, this is our finest hour ever. This is the greatest day to be alive so that we can bear witness to this generation in this time frame. We can bear witness of the one true Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. The glory's coming, folks. The glory's going to fall upon us. Hallelujah. God's going to bless us. God's going to prosper us. He's going to send us forth. He's going to heal our bodies. He's going to do whatever it takes to get us to that finish line, because we're going to be bringing in others with us. And I want you today to believe these promises from the Word of God and lay claim to your destiny in God, because He has one for you. It's called the church. Your destiny is intricately tied to the church. There really is no destiny for a Christian outside of the collective church. He intended us to function collectively. You do have an individual destiny, but it's intended to plug in to the collective that He calls His body. These are great days to be alive. You lay hold of that. You grab a hold of that promise. You run with that word. You write the vision down, make it plain, and run so that He can read it, whoever you come across in these last days. And you tell them that Jesus Christ saves and that He loves them and that He wants them to have newness of life forever. In Jesus' name. And God will bless you. Yes, He will. Right in the midst of the darkest times planet Earth has ever seen. This is Brother Paxton, and I'll see you a little further on up the road.